Again, this week to Acts chapter 23. Last week I shared the first part of just when you need him most, and kind of been focused around that this morning with our song and our scriptures as well. Here we find Paul is before the council. He finds himself at the mercies of the council, Pharisees and Sadducees, who's wanting to take his life because of him preaching the gospel. They didn't like what he was saying because they didn't see eye to eye. Of course, they were wrong in their thinking. Paul was right, completely right in his preaching and sharing of the gospel. And this scripture and passage is to let us know, you know, when we're in various situations in our life, no matter what it is, circumstances, it could be physical things, it could be everyday life of that things that we face, and we feel like sometimes we're in our own boat and we're floating and without paddles and so forth. And Paul, Lord has spoken to him at least six different times audibly, and showed his presence in Paul's life when he needed him the most. And he was always there for Paul, and he'll always be there for us as well. And to give you some insights how God works in and through our lives, I think it was mentioned in our deacons meeting this morning, you know, God's in control. Right, Bob? He's control of all things. We don't have to worry about that. The things of nature, the things that other worlds and governments and things try to configure, all the configurations that they come up with, God's still in control. So follow along with me as I read. Start with verse 10. And a great dissension was developing, and the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them, and ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. But on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, "Take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also." Now here's the conspiracy to kill Paul. When it was day, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who formed this plot. Kind of sound like in the old days and in the Western days, a posse, right? They formed a posse. Verse 13, and there were more than 40 who formed this plot. In verse 14, they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a solemn oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul." And I'll stop there. I may use some of the other verses later on. But in last week's message, we established that Paul, he was a great man, a good man. And he went about doing good for the cause of Christ. And but he was still just a man, right? Just like you and I. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. And he had real feelings, just like you and I, and needed God to be with him and to be real in his life. And God was always there when he needed him. So he needed to know that he wasn't alone. How many of you ever get to that point, you want to make sure you're not alone? You're not facing the trials and tribulations and the hardships in life alone. You know, we feel like we've all always have our family and so forth. But when you come in difficult situation, who do you go to first? Who do you seek first? Well, it should be the Lord. Because you know you got your back's going to be covered with your family, your friends, and so forth. But, you know, God knows the ins and outs of everything. So he needs to be the first one you go to and then have the support of others. And Paul had many people supporting him in the churches. So in verse 11, it says that God showed up just at the right time for Paul in his cell that night, just when he needed him most. And there's three things that happened for Paul in the cell. And last week, it was the Lord stood by Paul. And this morning, we want to look at the Lord spoke to Paul. And there's two words there. It said, and said. And said. What comes after that? Take courage. Take courage. Because I'll be with you. I was with you in Jerusalem. I'll be with you. And I'm sending you on to Rome. That's what he was saying. So what a blessing it is to have God who speaks to us. Now, I don't know. I've never had the privilege of having God speak to me audibly. But he has spoken to me in many different ways through his Spirit. And I am thankful for that. And I'm sure that you are as well. And throughout history, the Lord has spoken to his people. Whether it be audibly through a bush, the burning bush, you know, that Moses, God told him to take off his shoes, sandals, because where he was standing was holy ground. And on the wall, he wrote his messages on the wall, across the sky, by means of ink on paper. You know, we have the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit in the heart, and he speaks, and he speaks often. And if we listen, and that's why Psalms chapter 46, verse 10, I quote that verse quite often, because I like that verse, because it says, be still, and know that I am God. And when we are still, we pray, and when we are listening, and we're still, and know that God is on his throne, he will speak to us in such a way that we will understand exactly what he wants us to do, or what he intends to happen in our lives, and he will get the glory and blessing from it. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, but verse 1 says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in the last days has spoken to us through who? His Son, Jesus Christ. He speaks through his Son. Now, as the Lord spoke to Paul, he spoke a word of encouragement. That's why he said, take courage, which means to me, be of good cheer, kind of like Steve was this morning. He was saying, be of good cheer, be of courage, and that's what we should be. When we come to church, we should be encouraged. We should be in good cheer. Nothing like meeting a smiling face, right? A friendly handshake to get your morning going, get you started. See, Jesus said this to Paul at least six times during his earthly ministers. Take courage or be of good cheer. God spoke to Joshua that way as well. And he does the same in our hearts through maybe preaching. Hopefully, through preaching, God speaks to you and through his word. An encourager in the church. Our private devotion as just the right message leaps off to the page and hits us right in the face and says, this is just for you. How many of you have been doing your devotions on a daily basis? And this happens to me often. As I'm reading, it just jumps off the page at me and I say, yes, that's exactly what I needed to get my day started. This is where I am, and this is where God wants me to be this very moment. And I promise you, if you will get into the Word and you read it, it will speak to you in such a way, it will speak to you personally. See, God's Word is very personal. See, Paul took God's Word very personal because God spoke to him personally, got his attention many, many different times, but he was still with him, and he was there at the right time for Paul. And he'll always be here or there, wherever we are, just at the right time, just when we need him. He's been there for me every time in my life, just when I needed him. And even when I wasn't even conscious of needing him, he was there for me. And I'm so encouraged by that as well. So how many of you of someone, you know, someone right now that could use like a word of encouragement or even a card this week of encouragement? How many of you? Raise your hand. You know somebody that could use a word of encouragement or say of good cheer. You know what to do? We'll just do it. Do it. Take time to do it this week. They will be blessed, and you will be too. See, people love encouraging, uplifting. People love positive people. How many of you love positive people? Yeah. How many of you love negative people? I don't see any hands. Huh? You got to love them all. Yeah, you got to love them all. Well, you do. But you love to be around positive people, right? And hopefully, if you're positive, if you're around somebody negative, you can lift them up as well. So, the message of courage this morning. You know, we hope that when you come to Versailles Baptist Church, you are encouraged. We want you to be of good cheer as well when you leave here because you've been here in the presence of the Lord. Speaking of encouragement, it reminds me of this story about a boxing coach tried to believe in his students, but had one student that got his bell rung every time he got into the ring. He always thought that the round was over because he was always hearing bells in his head because he was getting his bell rung, I guess. So he got knocked around in so many different ways imaginable. One round he came to the corner and the coach said, "Great job. You're doing a great job. Get back out there and take care of him." One round he came to the corner and the coach said, He never even laid a hand on you. Now get back out there and finish him off." And the boxer said, "Okay, coach." He was all dazed and groggy and everything, but getting hit around, beat around. Next round in, same result. Every round he'd go in, he'd get knocked around, beat up, and so forth. He'd come back to the corner. He was saved by the bell this time. And coach said, "Good job. You're doing great. Never laid a hand on you. Go back out there and finish him off." He said, "Okay, coach, I'll do that." But he said, "Will you please keep an eye on that referee because somebody's beating the tar out of me." You know, encouragement can make us do a lot more. And I think that's what this coach was doing. He's wanting him to do a lot more. And we can do a lot more if we're encouraged and keep on going. And it's very best just when we need it most. And I believe that's why God showed up when he did. Because I can imagine Paul being in the cell, wondering, you know, how long he'd be there. All the conspiracy going on to kill him and so forth. And God says, "Take courage. I'm right here with you. Nothing's going to happen to you at this point. Take courage." Ivan McPherson said, "The bitterest cup with Christ is bitter than the sweetest cup without him." Now, the second message is commendation, or I would say congratulations, that is. See, in verse 11, it says, "As you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, you will also do this in Rome." Now, we don't know if of anyone who maybe had been saved at Paul's ministry at this time, or especially in Jerusalem, it looks like he failed from the human perspective. Yet, the Lord loves good witnessing. And he says, good job witnessing. That's what he was telling Paul. You know, sometimes we think success is getting results. But God loves a faithful servant. He doesn't ask us to be successful. He just asks us to be faithful. And see, this tells us two things about Paul. About witnessing in general. See, when we witness, God notices and he appreciates it. And someday, as we stand before God, he will personally thank us and he will reward you. He will reward you for your efforts, not your success, but your success as well. Because being faithful means that you're obedient, just like Jesus was when he went about doing good. And God blessed him because he was obedient. See, when we witness, God doesn't require us to be successful, only to be faithful. And that's the commendation that he gives us when we are faithful. See, I used to think if I witnessed to somebody and they didn't get saved, that I had failed. But now I realize that I didn't fail. They did. And the Bible said one plants, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, one plants and the other waters. Now, Paul was saying this, I planted and Apollos comes behind me and he waters. And then who gives the increase? God gives the increase. You see, we don't have to worry about that. God's going to give the increase. All we got to do is be faithful. And see, Paul was faithful. Even there in prison, he was still doing what God had called him to do. Even though he wasn't able to go out and be physically in the midst of the people witnessing, he was witnessing right there in his cell. And God was blessing him. And that's why he said, take courage. You know, I'm right here. Your ministry will continue on. Even though you're here, you will be successful. See, we have to leave the results in God's hand. He's the one who gives the increase. And the invitation I have to remember, I don't have to produce fruit every single time. See, God considers faithfulness as fruit. And also promises that if I consistently give the message faithfully, I will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You know, we often sing that song, don't we? Bringing in the sheaves. I will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. How many of you know that song? That was one of the songs we sung at Northside in Gath all the time. People loved it. I loved it because it talks about the Great Commission, what we should be doing, bringing in the sheaves. D.L. Moody was approached by a drunk who introduced himself saying, I'm one of your converts. He said, I'd say you are one of my converts because you're certainly not one of the Lord's converts. You see, the Lord spoke to him a message of courage and commendation. And now let's look at the message of confidence. In verse 3, at Rome, he said, whoa, that's what he wanted all the time, was to be starting to wonder if he had ever get that privilege. See, he'd been to Jerusalem, and now the Lord said, you're going to continue. You're going to be witnessing to the Romans and so forth. And he thought, what such a privilege that would be. But now all doubts are erased because God has said it, and he settles the matter right there. See, if you're not sure about something, do this. Get a promise from God and hold on tight. And see, Paul had been given a promise. He had not only a promise, but the privilege of not only witnessing and preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, but going on to Rome. You see, Paul felt at home in Rome because he was a Roman. But see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't happy with Paul providing the gospel or preaching the gospel in the way that, in the manner he was, because they did not believe as Paul believed. Now, we see that the Lord secured Paul. In verses 12 through 14, it says that 40 men entered into a death pact together against Paul, and the Lord said, you're going to Rome. But these 40 say, nay, you're not going anywhere. So it's amazing how God works. You see, when they were forming this pact, see, God was at work. He was worked right in the midst of everything that was going on. You see, God was in charge. Here are these 40 men, or this posse, thought, oh, okay, this is our opportune time to take care of Paul. In the meantime, the Lord had planted a young man, Paul's sister's little boy, his nephew, right outside, and he overheard what was going on. And he goes and he shares with the commander what was taking place. You see how God was working? Here they thought they had everything in control. And God showed up at the right time and said, take courage, Paul. Everything's going to be okay. You're going on to Rome. And thank goodness how God uses young people and children as well. And they took, and he took this message to the commander, and they stopped. See, did God smite them with leprosy or blindness or swallow them up with a fury holding the earth like an earthquake? No, nothing dramatic. But in case God used this little boy to get the job done. In verse 16, the 40 men are huddled together, conspiring, and they wouldn't worry about the little boy who overheard them, but Paul's nephew gets the word to the right people. You see, that's how God works. In verses 23 and verse 24, 470-member posse was put together, and all because of one little boy to take care of that situation. You see, you may be going through circumstances in which you don't see it if God is anywhere around. You may think, where are you, God? Where are you right now? But don't doubt for one second that he's not there. See, standing somewhere in the shadow, just like here for Paul, when he shows up, he says, Paul, be courage. Be of good courage. Be of sound mind. I am right here with you. In World War II, American soldiers found a cellar where Jews had been hiding out. They had been hiding out for some time, and they found this little cell. And written on the walls was these words, I believe in the sun, even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love, even when it's not shown. I believe in God, even when I cannot see him work. You see, God is present and at work through all your circumstances. And just when you need Him the most. I am so thankful. I'm so thankful that He's always got our back, doesn't He? Just like Paul right here. Take courage. How often have you been praying about a situation in your life, a circumstance, or something that's so devastating, you think, how will I ever get through this? And by your praying, all of a sudden, that peace just comes over you and says, it'll be fine. It's happened many, many times with me and Brenda in my own personal life, just like with Paul. Just when you need Him the most, just when you need Him the most, He is right there. But He's always with you at all times as well. And that's why I like that verse, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that God is there all the time. All we got to do is just listen to His Spirit. It'll be tugging right here on this heart, letting you know, you got me. I've got you. You're in good hands. Our Father, we thank You this morning. We praise Your holy name. And thank You for these scriptures that You have placed in Your Word. And sometimes we read over passages like chapter 23. We see that Paul is in prison. And he's going through various situations in the council and people wanting to kill him and so forth. And thought, well, he made it. But we sometimes overlook the obvious, that You were right there the whole time, as You are right here in our own lives. And sometimes we got to do some things on our own, and You work through those situations with us to make them complete and make them successful. Sometimes we got to do our part as well. But Lord, you will not leave it undone. You'll see it finished all the way to the end if we'll be faithful alongside with You. That's how You work through prayer. Lord, there may be someone here this morning that doesn't know You personally as their personal Savior and as their Lord. We pray, Lord, at this very moment, as Your Holy Spirit is speaking, moving throughout this congregation. Lord, You're a personal God. You speak to us individually. And I pray this very moment, whoever is here has that special need, just like Paul, not in his situation, but we all have our various situations, circumstances, and You are willing to work those out in our lives if we're willing to bring them to You and wait for You. Wait for a yes or no or wait. We can have confidence. It's a promise that You give us that You're always with us. In this invitation this morning, Lord, we just pray that Your will be done. We pray that everyone here has been listening. And in doing so, our hearts will be open and sensitive to Your Holy Spirit to walk down this aisle this morning, to make a decision for You, because You're calling us. You call us all to be faithful. Lord, we praise You and we thank You in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.